Hello and welcome to our podcast here at Elim Church in Swanley. You're joining myself, Reverend Ben Cooper and Simon Pinchbeck this morning. We are so glad he has travelled all the way from sunny Essex. He's brought the rain with him today. It's so lovely to have you with us. You don't live in Essex, do you?
I do live in Essex, yeah.
Oh,
I'm right on the borders of Hertfordshire, but I'm there, mate.
You're 50-50.
And I've been in Essex since 1986.
So it's a few years. So good to have you with us today. And we're doing our podcast, sitting around a cup of coffee. We normally do two of them back to back, but I thank God for Simon's life. He's a good friend of mine, and he's just so real. You know, and what's interesting about these podcasts we do, there's no editing going on. There's no fancy software cleaning it all up. It is just raw. It is real. It's two geezers.
Two geezers just having a chat about the things of Jesus Christ, don't we, really?
And that's the most important to understand, you know. And you know what? Being real, finding someone that you can be real with is so good. And not having to perform.
And I think it's vital in your Christian walk, Ben, seriously. You know, we all want to, sometimes we want to put out this face or that face, but...
Yeah, it don't work, does it when you're tired. No. You know what, you ever been like, this journey of Christianity is a funny old game, isn't it? You know, it's a funny old game. You're like, in church, you have to put like your church teeth in. Everything's great, lovely,
yeah,
isn't it?
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Remember that vicar with Dick Henry?
Henry, that's great, yeah. Yeah, it's so typical, isn't it?
Yeah.
You've got to like come into church and you've got your wife and your kids and everything's good. Everything's good and everything's wonderful.
And so you're really tired. You speak to someone and go, how are you, mate?
I'm great.
Oh, I'm great.
I've had a great week.
I'm blessed. I'm blessed and highly favoured.
80 hours this week. I'm so blessed. You know what? The kids have been nagging me. I'm so blessed, Lord. Oh, it's so great. It's been trouble everywhere, but I am blessed.
Yeah, you hear that a lot,
don't you?
I'm fed up.
You're hearing that.
Yeah.
Ask me how I am, Simon.
Let's get real, Ben.
I'm fed up.
Let's get real.
I'm jazzed
it's
off.
Tough. This Christian it's life tough. Is tough.
Come on, let's be real. We're in the second wave of
lockdown.
Yeah. Don't you find it interesting? When you travel today, we're in national lockdown.
Yeah.
But we're as busy as we ever was.
Everywhere is as busy.
It's mad, isn't it?
I don't know. Honestly, I'm confused with it all.
It's crazy.
Ben, I just feel for them. And people in hospitality, I feel for the small coffee shop owners, I just feel for them guys, you know. Just at a time when they're coming into a second, you know, they've weathered the first one.
Yes.
They've used up all their savings. They've done everything that the government asked them to do. Like they've put screens up,
everything.
They've taken tables out.
Took loans out, borrowed money to keep things
and
moving.
They're just getting themselves back.
Yeah, in some form of routine lockdown.
No,
but it's not really lockdown, is it?
It's not. Well, it is for the restaurants, isn't it?
It's a lockdown for one area.
One area, that's all.
But the rest of the nation is thundering.
Everything else is carrying
on. I'll get stuck in traffic, but we're in lockdown. And you can't work it out.
I can't understand.
And I find it mentally draining because I'm hearing and looking. So my ears are picking up across the media, lockdown, 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 keep the distance, this, all them measures which are right and true. Yeah, we do what we got to do there and all that, very respectful of that. But then my eyes are picking up something completely different to what I'm hearing.
We're not, before I popped, came down here, I went into the local Asda store.
Praise the Lord.
And yeah, they got masks on, but no one's really bothered about socially distancing.
I bet it was busy.
There's no queues, very busy, no queues. It's even busier in the bookies next door, do you know?
Of course
what I mean?
It is, it's busy, yeah.
People have just gone, we've had enough.
Yeah.
We've had enough. All that staying in, all that stuff. No, we've done everything you've asked us to do. And you're still asking us to do more.
We've got to do more, but what more can we do?
Where's it going to end?
And then we say to ourselves, I need hope.
Well, that brings us on to a great subject,
doesn't it? Give me hope, Lord.
Because the thing is, everything that you've put your hope in has now been shaken.
It has. Everything.
Everything.
So when we say everything that I put my hope in is material, when I put my whole life and every weight, everything upon business, upon the culture, upon the system, I put everything in that, but I don't realise that I'm doing that because you're herded in a way.
Yeah, you're
mortgage,
programmed.
You're programmed. You're pushed to this certain
in the,
regime.
Yes, and especially like in the UK, especially so from a young age, you'd be this way to go up, to get married, have kids, get a mortgage, get a house. Hey, must have a house. That's the thing. And what with that comes the trappings of you've got to have a nice car, got to have your holiday.
Yeah.
So that's where, you know, I lived like that for 46 years.
Yes.
You know, so I lived in that world for 46 years.
Yes.
And all my hope was in the house I had, the bricks and mortar. How much has that gone up each year?
Yeah.
My 2 week holiday in Florida, that was my hope. I was looking forward to that.
Yeah.
My hope was in the job I was in and the savings I'd got, the big screen TV that I was going to get. That was my hope. The hope was in my football club. What was that?
Yes.
What were they doing? My hope was in my kids. What were they doing at school? My hope was in my wife, in her job. My hope was in me.
Yeah.
My hope was in me.
So
that's where the hope was, in self.
In self. We've got to be so careful, haven't we? I don't think it's intentional. I don't think we intend to do it, but there's this pattern. The Bible makes it very clear. Don't conform to the pattern of this world, but have your minds renewed. I can't follow the pattern. So what you've just spoken about, that is a clear pattern of every house.
Every house, and what it is, it's about the stuff that you can control.
Yeah.
Now this pandemic
control.
Or plandemic or whatever you want to call it, whatever has happened has shaken that.
It has knocked it.
It's knocked it because all of a sudden you can't control it.
You can't control it, so then you.
What's your pension doing?
What's going on with your pension? Then people, you start to live off credit. You get furloughed, you lost a 20%.
Yeah.
So suddenly you're living, because everybody, don't get me wrong, everyone listening, but it seems to be that whatever money you get, you always seem to be able to spend it and over and above. So you get in this lifestyle.
Yeah, you live to your earnings.
You live to your earnings to the max. Yeah. And then suddenly something happens, you got a card, I'll put it on a credit card, and then this, that, and you know, and I've lived that world, I know what that's like, the painful world. Of all that sort of stuff, and then you get in debt, and then you can't sleep, and then you become agitated, you become fed up, and then suddenly you become a robot, a slave to Pharaoh, baking bricks all day.
Wow!
I'm baking bricks.
That's a great analogy, Ben.
I'm under Pharaoh because as I look across the platform of what we got out there, our friends and all that, the system is Pharaoh. It has no heart.
It wants you to conform to it.
So I put my hope in everything it has said and the model it has said. And I trusted that because it is of it looks good. It looks attractive.
No, it's the way society is. So I want to conform to society. Yeah. I don't want to be a rebel or go off grid. Mm. I don't want to off. I want to stay on mainstream. Yeah. And that's the way it is. And you know, we've even got that in churches, Ben, and it's criminal. It's real criminal what some churches and some pastors have sold to their flock. Ben,
you said the word sold.
They've sold it to their flock. They've sold a happy life with a happy Jesus and a soft, compromised gospel. That's what they've sold.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you put your trust in that, put your hope in that. Yes, you can believe in all of those scriptures because all those scriptures are all about you.
Yeah. You can easily, within moments, get a lot of scripture together that makes you feel good and makes you think, do you know what? Oh, this is, I'm superhuman.
Yeah, these churches buy into that because
I'm a super
You're a little
Christian.
God.
I am. I've got everything. The devil's under my feet. I'm blessed and highly favoured.
I'm blessed and
you
highly
can bring,
favoured.
My
yeah,
God
yeah.
shall supply all my needs.
Yes.
And no one don't mention the rest bit according to his riches in glory. I'll leave that bit off, Lord, because, you know, he talk about needs, wants, but then so it's, there is a very fine line of being a believer and not getting caught in the system of world. But because culture and I don't know if this is the right thing to say, but what I've seen over the years is the world has influenced the church rather than the church has influenced and shaped the world.
That's absolutely true. What they've done, they've been the world to win the world.
Yes.
So, and the problem is they've become corporations. So you've got CEOs now who run churches.
Yeah.
And they're attracting people on a lie, which is that it's all about you. And the Bible's all about you, and it's everything in there is all about you. So you're suddenly building this faith on a prosperity face, and it's on sand.
The rain came, the storm and the wind blew, and it beat against that house.
So now we're in this pandemic, and all of a sudden, all that stuff,
it's crashing.
I'm seeing my job not earning as much as I did. I'm seeing, I'm having to homeschool my kids. My life's going all over the place.
The NHS is stretched to the maximum. Finance, the debt of the nation is plummeting with no return.
Everything I put my hope in
is crashing.
Is crashing. And even this Jesus that I've been told, who's this amazing Santa Claus Jesus who's going to give me everything.
Yeah.
He ain't around anymore. Where's he gone?
Yeah. Where is he? Where are you? Where are you, Lord? And we need to be really careful as believers, because what's happened, this pandemic has come in like a flood. It has rocked the world off its axis. It has flattened all systems, businesses. It has shaken everything right the way to the core. So where I have been in a worldly church, a worldly systematic church, a worldly flow of religion, when your own mortality is staring you in the face and everything that you put weight in crashes. I know we've said this before, but you've got the ministries out there that are telling you that you're going to be healed, cancer, prosperity, gospels, the faith healers, the name it and the claim it and all that. Doors are shut.
Doors are shut, and
that's rocked.
As we said before, you know, the healing rooms in Bethel Church in Redding, California,
are closed.
They're closed because of illness.
There's confusion again. I've got confusion from the government of what they're telling me. One department is telling me this. So we got departments of the world in conflict with each other. Then we have what we would say the church that we may have looked up to, rightly or wrongly, whatever. But we all want to believe in that healing because, you know, healing, wow, that's a miracle. You're healed. But suddenly you can come out to us. You can come to this. We'll teach you over 12 weeks. And after we've finished this course, you'll be an evangelist, Simon. And then after you've done that course, you can go to that college over there and then you'll be a faith healer.
It costs you a few quid. But
10 grand. Know. Yeah, it'll cost you. Yeah. So, but then suddenly, before the pandemic, all this is going on. Yeah, I think, mate. And what happens is someone might go, do you know what? I think I might be called to that because it looks good.
It looks good.
Then a wave comes in and crashes down like a tsunami. There was like a big, you know how the tsunamis work. There's a big drawing back. And that's what I see. There's a big drawing back for years and years and years. Just quietness. But then suddenly this tsunami has come in and has crashed on the world and it's caused devastation. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. So all my hope has been smashed.
If that's where your heart was, it's been smashed.
Exactly.
And this is on the internet. You can see this very clearly. In 2021, early in 2021, there's going to be a big meeting of the globalist meeting in Davos.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's called Davos 2021. They're calling it the Great Reset. Right.
Oh, Jesus.
So, you know, there's all sorts of things that they're looking to do. It's a redistribution of wealth, all that sort of stuff. That's what they want. It's out there on YouTube if you want to see it. And even Prince Charles is giving his name to that. But as a Christian, we got another reset.
We've got another reset.
As a Christian, where's my hope? As a Christian, my hope is in Christ and Christ alone.
Praise God.
I love that song, In Christ Alone, don't you? I love it.
I can hear it. It's in years now.
And the first couple of lines of that is, in Christ alone my hope is found.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
He is my light, my strength, my song.
Come on, Lord.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
That is where our hope is. It's in Christ and Christ alone. And if we submit to Jesus, if we submit to him...
Oh, come on.
And we don't use him as this genie in a bottle, like we've said many times before, as hole in the wall.
Hole in the wall,
if
Jesus.
We submit to him, then our hope is in the promises of God.
Now, right, that takes me to a scripture. Three times I pleaded with the Lord, take it away from me. He didn't take that, but what he said was, my grace is sufficient for you.
For you, yeah.
So whatever we go through, no matter how dark and bleak, there is always hope.
There's hope.
There's hope, but I might have afflictions, yeah. But he knows I've got the affliction. So I've got to flip this around now. As a man in Christ, I've got to flip from religion to faith.
To faith, yes.
I've got to
yes.
flip from church to yes. Jesus. I've got to flip from yeah. business to faith. I've got yeah. to completely flip. Now, this pandemic is giving everybody an opportunity to flick over to Christ, to reset. It.
And there's another great song that says, my hope is the anchor.
Oh, yeah.
So if your hope yeah. is in Jesus Christ, he is now the anchor
he is
in the
place.
Storms.
Yes.
So you've got that anchor now because you've totally submitted. You're totally obedient. You know that it's nothing about you. You know that the Bible's not about you.
Isn't it?
The Bible's
about, how it was.
The Bible's about Jesus Christ.
Is right. it?
So you're not David and David and Goliath. Do you know? You're not a giant slayer. No.
Oh.
You can do nothing without Jesus Christ. When you come to that place,
yeah, that's right.
Then you can start to
yeah.
believe and take on board those promises of God, which are, I'll never leave you or forsake you.
Come on, Lord.
People use Jeremiah 29:11. You know, I know the plans I have for you. But here's the deal, 29:13 says, you will find me if you seek me with all your heart.
That's
so
the key.
That's the key to it.
The heart.
People use Psalm 91 and saying, that's my protection. But it says, if you make the most Lord your most high.
Yes.
So there's, you know, that you can't just accept
him.
These
You've
things.
Got to lift
You've
him.
Got to lift him up. He's got to be number one in your
He's
life.
He's got to be number one. And you said something really, a word that we've used a few times, submission and surrender. Completely handing everything over to him, you know. There, we've really got to pray that God will really just draw us closer and closer, because what the issue is with all the things that are breaking out across the world and everything that's going on, we've got to be careful that when we give the devil a foothold, he can run right in our head.
Well, if you give him a foothold, we don't want him to make a stronghold in that area,
yeah.
do we? So we need to.
It's like being an arrow, and it's asking God, Lord, make me sharp, Lord, so Lord, I can punch through the darkness with you, that I will not be blunt. That
yeah.
I can get through. I've got to cut through.
That's
it's about a time about being a warrior, but that sounds very evangelical, very Pentecostal. Oh, you're a warrior for Christ. I'm dressed in the armor. It doesn't mean that, but it means about holding your place.
Let me tell you, Ben.
Hold your place as a warrior for Christ.
Without hope, there's no fight.
It can't be.
How can you fight without hope? Because yeah. all of a sudden, if you've got no hope, if your life is not anchored in Jesus Christ, if you're not submitted to him, then you're floating around, mate. You're on
exactly.
that sea, and
yeah,
you're being
yeah.
bashed by all the storms and stuff.
Yeah.
And you know, I love the analogy of like the palm tree. It looks the weakest of all trees,
yeah.
doesn't it? But mate, when those hurricanes hit, that palm tree bends, doesn't it? It bends,
yeah, adapts to the elements.
And then when the hurricane's gone, it springs back.
It comes back.
That's how we've got to be, because our roots have got to be anchored
yes.
in
yes.
Jesus Christ. And our roots, if your roots are anchored in Jesus Christ, what is The continuing process for us is the Word of God. We've got to understand it. I've got to be in the Word. And be in the Word in the Spirit. So it's revelation, not just instruction. So it's vital that we know the Word of God. It's vital that we know the promises of God. It's vital that we're continually submitting to Jesus. And as we said before, if you're submitting to Jesus, you're under the shield of Jesus.
Yeah, Lord, thank you, Jesus.
If you're not, if you want to do this stuff in your own strength, if you want to do this stuff,
get burnt out.
You think you're bigger than this, and you think that you're stepping outside the shield, and you're stepping into uncalm waters.
I've done that.
And you're running before Jesus.
I've run before the Lord. I've run before many, many, many times. I've been so far, Lord, I thought I heard a word from you. I thought this, that, and that. Suddenly I realise, get to this, and I've got myself in a cul-de-sac.
Yes, yeah.
I've got myself in a cul-de-sac because I've run before the Lord.
It's fight or flight, isn't it?
Exactly, you know? And you're running off your adrenaline, you're running off your own strength.
So you're saying, I've got to do more.
I've got to do more.
I've got to do more. I'm not doing enough. This is why.
I've got to make it work.
And Jesus is saying no.
No.
He's saying,
come back.
I love your heart, but come back under the shield.
Come back under the shield.
And let's just walk with me. Rest and walk with me. He doesn't want you running off all over
burning
the place.
Burning all candles.
Speaking to people at what time at night, taking phone calls here and there. No, he wants you to do what he wants you to do.
That's a challenge for me. That is a challenge.
He wants you to put him numero uno, number one. But he wants you to put your wife next and your family next. And then the ministry gets into place after that.
But the church puts it upside down. It flicks it around, doesn't it? And then suddenly you've got an upside down world that you're fighting. You're like, you're swimming up these...
Trouble is, Ben, that the world will want more and more of you.
All the time. And then when you can't see... I always think of this picture that I've got in my head when you talk about the world will want more of you. When Christ drew the line in the sand, for what that reason was, but when I see that line in the sand, I see Christ on one side and the world on the other side. But I don't see any line in the sand anymore between the church and the world. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
It's molded into one. So you're doing worldly things in the church and the world is doing... ungodly thing, you know. It's like swept in. So what you find yourself in ministry can be doing worldly things, trying to put in a worldly program, a worldly business model into the kingdom, which doesn't fit. And then you get exhausted. And just because you've got money doesn't mean to say it's going to work. But if you've got someone that has been called into ministry that has got a fair bit of cash, you can do anything to a certain degree.
To a certain degree, yeah. You know what? I think God is using this time to shake this stuff. It's to shake it all, to shake this worldly stuff, and He's bringing people back to. He wants them to come back. He wants Christians to reset to the cross.
We've got to come to Jesus.
The default for a Christian is the cross of Christ.
Yes.
All the time.
Back to the cross.
We've got to come back to the cross. And we've got to be following Jesus. We've got to lay our lives down again. Yeah. We've got to do what Galatians 2:20 tells us. We've got to be crucified with Christ each day. So it's no longer you that live, but Christ that lives in you.
Christ lives in me.
He lives in you and you are in Christ.
Hallelujah.
And it's Christ alone.
Mm.
And so all the other stuff that's gone on where... You know, they've tried to be the world, to win the world.
That doesn't
work because the world
is
looking for Christians now who are at peace. The world is looking for people who are at peace because look at him. Yeah, everything's going bonkers around him, but he's got peace. What is it about you? Well, I've got my faith in Jesus Christ. I've got hope in Jesus Christ. this is where I'm at. I know that this is only temporary. I know this is temporary. I know that...
A stopgap.
I know this is a stopgap. I know that, that this is a dark night, but there's going to be bright skies up ahead. I know I'm walking with... I'm believing the words that Jesus has said because of Jesus, because of what he's done for me.
Praise God.
So that's people looking for something. The world is looking for something different. Because if it's looking for more of the same, Christians running around in fear and doubt,
Well,
what's the point?
But it's how to deal with the fear and the doubt, isn't it? That's the thing. But where the religious church and all that stuff hasn't taught how to live in a crisis trouble, where, as what you said earlier, Yon, it is all about lights, glitz and glamour and a show and look good and the feel good factor and emotional sort of stuff. It hasn't, from what I can see, it hasn't taught believers how to live in the valley of the shadow of death, how to apply your faith, how to hold on to the word of God.
No, it's a very shallow message.
It's a very cotton wool message.
And the thing is, look at how the early church grew.
Yeah.
It grew by people, believers, discipling each other.
Yeah.
And then other people going, I like what they're about.
Yeah.
And then those people being discipled to move on and to multiply. And that's how it grew.
Yes.
So what's happening now, I believe you're going to start seeing smaller churches.
Definitely. Yeah.
But I believe...
Ones and twos, we're just gathering in a park.
We're going to start seeing deliverance. We're going to start seeing people come to faith. We're going to start seeing healings.
We are.
Within
the small group.
And I believe that that's the way that we can, as soldiers in the kingdom, we can take ground, but we can hold ground.
That's correct, yeah. And you're talking about discipleship. You know, we've got to be really careful how we look at that word in the world of the church, because everyone wants a title. And then it straight away comes as who's your mentor? Who's your spiritual father? Who's the one that you look to? We've got to be very careful that Christ is always the one we go to. We've got to be very, very careful. And there's that word that's been bouncing around for so long. I'm going to see my spiritual director. Do you know what I mean? We've got to be careful of them type of titles, that we don't take it away from the true understanding of the early church, that they encouraged each other.
We encouraged each other because
one of them wasn't greater than the other one.
Otherwise, you know, we know men out there that other guys will go, yeah, but did you hear what he said?
Exactly. That's what we've got to be careful of.
Did you hear what he said? What did Jesus say about that?
What did Jesus say? Yeah,
because he said it. He said it about everything. Read the red stuff in the Bible. He said it about everything. And then,
we've got
people like Paul, James, Peter, who said amazing things about how we should live our life. There's the Word of God.
We've got it in the Word.
We've got it in the Word.
And I thank God for the disciples and the discipleship courses and all that. But we have to be really careful that we don't again get caught in another bit of literature that has come together by man. We've got great men and women that are real skilled in educators and all that, and delivering stuff and the business model side of things. But above that, I have to go to Jesus.
You've got to go to Jesus. Listen, Proverbs 27:17.
I've got to go to Jesus.
It's great. It's iron sharpens iron as one man sharpens. Yeah. And that's great, because we need each other. To encourage each other. We need each other to be able to go to tell people about what's going on in our lives, to bring stuff out in the open.
Yeah.
As it says in James 5:16, to confess to one another so that you will be healed. But it's got to all come to the back to the cross.
It has to.
And Jesus has got to be first and foremost, and you've got to be speaking constantly to Jesus and the Holy Spirit to convict you of this stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's the key to all of this, Ben, is communication with the Lord through prayer. The communication through the Lord. The communication with Jesus. Let him lead you to the Father.
Yeah.
Through prayer, so that if you've got that constant communication going, then all of a sudden you've got a relationship going.
Yeah.
And there's the hope.
And that's the thing.
And there's the hope. Because when all the other stuff's going,
Yeah.
You know where the truth is.
Yeah.
You know where the truth is.
It is always Christ-centered. It has to be. And we have to be so careful of, if we keep going to another human being more than we go to Christ. Yeah, we got great men and women out there that are gifted in many callings and all that. But I think that what we've had over the years is we've used this too loosely. You've got bishops, pastors over pastors. You've got different hierarchy systems being put in place and all that. When if I'm just keep going to that human being more than I'm going to Christ, we've got to be careful of the spiritual director, the title. We've got to be careful of he's a pastor of pastors. He's the one to go to. They're the ones to go to. I've got to see that man or I've got to see that woman because they're a prophet. They're an apostle. The labels have been taken out of the New Testament and put, and even labels that have been made up that don't even exist scripturally, put on people, and we're putting too much weight on another human being rather than coming to Christ. So suddenly when something happens and I put my hope in that and that hasn't worked, I get a crushing feeling. But he will never leave me nor forsake me. So my hope is in my God.
Well, here's the thing, you know, you put your hope or trust in any human being, they're going to let you down.
I will let everybody down.
We'll all make mistakes. We all let people down. You know, we won't phone when we should do. We won't contact people when we should do. We won't give the right advice.
We'll say the wrong thing.
Our lives will go through a mayhem at some stage. Yeah. But there's the thing, you know, that putting that hope and that trust in the Word of God, in that relationship with Jesus Christ, it's seeking Him, and it's people say, you know, seek the face of God. Well, the face of God is Jesus Christ.
Yes.
So seek Jesus,
the Word.
He'll lead you to the Father.
Come on,
through the Word, and no matter what comes against you, you know and we know, and we'll be speaking to people out there. They'll be listening to this. They'll be actually on their knees.
Yeah.
They'll be in the darkest hour. They know that...
A Christian, but financially in debt up to their eyes. A Christian losing their job.
Yeah.
Petrified. A Christian going through divorce. A Christian addicted to porn. A Christian addicted to gambling. A Christian addicted to secret things.
Yes.
A Christian, but the church hasn't allowed us to express that because it's all theatrical performances. When we need to be real,
we've got to be real. You know that
I've got to be real.
The church should be a place for broken people. It's not a museum for amazing people. Look at that fella. Look at that. He's got it all going on. No, we come to a place of brokenness. But when we know that our trust and our roots and our rock is in Jesus Christ. First of all, we probably wouldn't be getting into debt in the first place.
No.
Because we would not be putting our trust and hope in material things. And I know we've got Christmas coming up, but rack it back. That's what you've got. What you've got to do.
But the thing is, the church has told us, hasn't it, very clearly for a number of years, Christ has told me, if you put £1,000 into this ministry, cast your bread upon the waters, watch its return. We've had these televangelists, we've had these churches, these prosperity churches where it is teaching you that money becomes
it's a lie from
God.
The pit of
it's
hell.
A lifestyle. So people, it's such an unusual teaching when you really think about the prosperity gospel, that they'll name it and claim it and the wealth and the world is doing that as well. So it's so easy to fall into the trap of money.
But Jesus says he is the way, the life and the truth.
He does, very clearly.
He is the way, the life and the truth. No one comes to the Father except through him. So so he is the guy. Jesus is the role model. He's the one to follow. He's the one to give your life to, completely submit. And when tough times come, man, you'll be hanging on because you'll be hanging on to the words and the promises, and you'll know that round the corner. So when other people in these dark times will give up, and go into deep pits of depression and whatever, you'll be hanging on.
Come on,
and you'll have the peace knowing because you have that relationship with Jesus, and your breakthrough will come.
My hope is in
your
Jesus.
Your breakthrough will come by hanging on and submitting totally to Jesus Christ.
It has
and
to
being
be
under
Jesus.
That shield. Anything else,
it can't.
You're in trouble.
You're in trouble. So here's the deal. It is quite simple, is that I just get in the Word. I get in the Word, but then I get into the Word, but then the attacks come, because the Bible says the just shall live by faith. So my faith is going completely opposite to my eyesight. My eyesight and my ears, my natural perception, are engaging of what the natural world is doing. So suddenly, I start to get in this Word of God. I start to trust in Him. So let's just take a scenario. We've got a family that are believers, that they've been in and out of church, and they, you know, and all that sort of stuff that's going on. They've got a credit card, they've got this, they've got that, and they've been living, they've been caught into this culture. There comes a point when you've got to say, do you know what, I'm going to go by faith. But the bills don't stop coming in. The relentlessness of work, the mortgage don't stop, this and that. So there comes a point when you've got to put everything in Christ and go, God, I'm going to trust you. I've got more plates spinning at the moment. I can't leave this job in London because it's a good payer, but I've lived to that, which then has taken my time from you and my time from my family. So there coming a point for a lot of people where it's going to have to be, Lord, you've got to trim back. You're the gardener.
Yes,
and I'm going to go by faith.
You know, there's common sense in all that.
Common sense
as well, Ben. But you know, that's a wilderness time that maybe we're coming into, and a lot of us have come into this area. Well, you know, God is looking at you during that time. This is a time of testing. It's an uncomfortable time,
uncomfortable.
And believe me, the Lord is looking at your attitude during that time. Now, if your attitude is, where are you? God,
exactly.
We know this. Then you'll stay in that.
Exactly.
I'm afraid you'll stay in there. But if your attitude is getting on your knees every morning in front and on your face in front of the Lord, even if you're crying your eyes out, saying, "Lord, you know, I need you. I want you," then your attitude will determine your altitude.
Come on.
So if you're coming in with the right attitude, which is submission to Jesus Christ, then the Lord will pull you through that, and you believe in the promises, and you believe in the hope that's out there.
So what we're saying for real men for Christ, for men that are going through real hardships at the moment, is we just keep following Jesus. And there might be men out there going, do you know what, guys? I am following Jesus. We'll keep going.
Keep going.
Keep going.
Yeah,
that's
keep
the
going
thing.
Keep going and pressing harder.
And keep pressing in harder. You can never press in enough.
What I'd say is, as you said before, things are looking good because things are looking bad. And if you're using this time, you know, in a time of a blessing, in a time of prosperity, in a time of where things are going great, you may not give as much time to the Lord. But if you're using this time to seek the face of the Lord, which is Jesus Christ, if you're using to seek Him more, if you're using to get on your knees more, if you're using to establish that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and then to the Father, if you're using that, then you're going to come out of this in power.
Praise God. And also, we can say to ourselves, well, how do I build on that relationship? It's every moment of my day, isn't it? Whether I'm walking, I'm out walking the dog, I'm out with the kids, my wife, my family, wherever I am, it's just communicating with Him.
Yeah.
Driving, stuck in the traffic, just speaking to God.
That's totally it. What you've just said there, Ben, is totally it. It's not a big 2-hour prayer.
No.
Meeting.
It's a journey.
It's a little. Oh, thank you, Father, for that.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for that. Looking for the bright sparks in whatever.
That's right.
Whatever's happening, because you know, he's in control of it all.
That's right. Flying around London in your parcel van, dropping things off, a scaffolder, or wherever you are, whatever you're doing, just going, God, I thank you today.
Thank you, God, I'm tired today.
Help me, Jesus.
Yeah,
I've had a restless night. Yeah. It's this conversation, sitting in a traffic jam, going, Lord, just give me strength. I'm going into a meeting today. Help me, Father.
Watch my tongue today.
Watch my tongue.
That's a big one,
strength
isn't it?
Strengthen me today, Lord.
Yeah.
Bless me. It's just
give me
speaking.
That peace today.
Yeah.
And just constantly going. And then, as well, you know, if you've slipped up, confessing. Help confessing. Sorry, Lord, for help doing me, that. Lord. I'm sorry, Lord, for doing that.
How often did my mouth come out with that one? Help me, Lord.
Help me, Lord.
Help me, Lord.
But that relationship, you'll start, you'll have that. You'll get in the car and Jesus will be in the driving seat.
Exactly. He's with you. He's with you. Driving, he's walking, there. You're following him, you're trusting him. That's a tough thing to do, isn't it? It's easy following Jesus when everything is smelling beautiful.
Yeah, and we're going to talk more about that in the second going to do
we'll
that
hold our
today.
Place on that.
Yeah. But remember, you know, John 15:5, Jesus is the vine. Yeah. We're grafted into the vine. So we're grafted into Jesus. And as he said, you can do nothing apart from me.
Oh, God, come on.
So we can do nothing apart from him. What is it? Because he's done it all for us.
He's done everything. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten son, that whosoever shall believe. See, it's not a performance, is it?
And it's whosoever.
Yeah, who? And I'm
it don't
whosoever.
It don't have to,
I'm
it
the
don't,
one in the gutter. Whosoever.
It's not the person putting the flowers out in church. It's whoever. Wherever you are.
In prison, in hospital.
Oh, wherever you're
in
listening.
In your sickbed. Yeah. Wherever you wherever are. Wherever you are. So what a great, powerful word that is.
Yeah.
It covers all humanity.
Yeah.
That one word, whosoever shall believe.
Yeah.
It doesn't talk about performance, does it?
No, and this is
no
the thing here, Ben.
It's that, belief.
The deal with that is this is a heart thing.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You believe in your heart.
Yes.
And express with your mouth, it says in the Bible, then you shall be saved. So whoever believes within their
works.
Heart. It's not about whoever's doing this for me, whoever's doing that, whoever's just shot their hand up on a wave of emotion. No, it's you've got to firmly believe.
And it's forever.
What a promise. That's an amazing promise.
What a promise. Whosoever shall believe. And how many times does Christ address with the disciples in the New Testament? Where's your faith? When he said to Jairus, Jairus' child is dead. His family, the members of his house, the scripture says in the New Testament, comes out to Jairus and says, don't bother the teacher anymore. And the scripture says that Jesus overhears that conversation. Don't bother the teacher anymore. She's gone. She's dead. And then Jesus leans in and goes, don't worry. Just believe. That is so beautiful. Don't worry, Jairus. Just believe.
Just believe, yeah.
But then we go on to faith. Belief and faith run so close together. So Jairus is in this situation, a man in Christ. He's hearing from his house, your daughter is dead. Don't bother it anymore. It's finished. But then Jesus leans in and says the opposite to the house. And that is so true to church and everything. Jesus says, it's not over.
It's not over.
It's not over.
It's not over.
But Lord,
they're great words. Yeah.
My natural understanding, my eyes and my ears are picking up that she's gone. But now my God is telling me, don't be afraid. So he addresses that one thing straight away. Fear. Don't be afraid. Ben, don't be afraid. It's not over.
And that's a big
just
thing
believe.
These days. Yeah. Fear and unbelief.
Yeah.
And really, the Lord hates that.
He does.
Because there's no hope or trust in him with that. And if you've got that relationship that we've been talking about, the one that you, every single day, that you're establishing, you're strengthening, you're keeping that relationship going as you talk to Jesus in small sound bites, you know.
Yeah.
And he wants to be involved in every single thing.
Oh, come on, Lord.
He wants to be involved in every single thing in your life, even the small things. Mm. Why? Because everything's small to God, isn't it?
Everything's
small
everything.
To God. The biggest thing in your life is small to God.
It's a grain of sand.
We have, you know, it's been said many times, but we have a huge God.
I can't understand that. I cannot grasp the enormity and the power and how great he is, and I can't grasp that because I am just.
So here's the
what
thing.
Am I? I'm just a man. Look, I know who I am, but I'm just. I can't. His ways are higher than my
so
ways.
Once we've committed ourselves to our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Don't tell God how big your problems is. Tell your problem how big your God is.
Yeah, that's right.
Come on, because sell that, you know, because we can, you know, once you have committed yourself to Jesus, then you can start to believe those promises that you can do all things through Christ.
Yeah.
Why? Because of Christ. Because of what he's done for you. Not through you.
Yeah.
Not through anything that you've done.
Nothing.
But because of what Jesus Christ has done, you can then get behind that shield of faith and you can walk through stuff.
And
you can walk through that wall. You can walk.
You can do that.
Because you're behind Jesus.
He's already put you to flight. He's put you to flight on your journey. There is no storm. There is nothing in our pathway or is upon us now. There is nothing that has caught God by surprise.
No,
so everything that happens is for a reason of the season, for the strengthening or the testing of my faith. Whatever it may be, there is nothing in my life or your life or whoever's life that is outside of God's eyesight. He's not gone, oh, I didn't see that one coming. He sees everything.
He sees everything.
He sees my decisions that are years down the line. He knows what avenue, where I'm going to get caught, with things I'm going to, the right things I'm going to do, the wrong thing. He sees my whole journey. But he still chose to speak to Jairus and to deal with that situation. Don't worry. Just believe.
And then
you come back into the New Testament where you mention about unbelief, and that text comes spring straight to my spirit very clearly, where what we have is a dad again. A dad again with his son has got caught by this this unclean spirit.
Yeah.
And Jesus is in town and he goes to him and he cries in prayer and he says, please, please, he cries out.
Yeah.
And Jesus says, if you believe, all things are possible.
All things are possible.
And he said, I don't believe. He cries out. But then he goes, help my unbelief.
Yeah.
So what we've got to understand, that all the guys and girls are listening, I might be a believer in God. And I might have moments of fearful unbelief. But Jesus sees that because he addresses that very clearly with Jairus, the dad of the daughter, and the dad of the son in the New Testament. And he addresses that. The first thing he says to the disciples, don't fear, don't be afraid.
So the moral or the key behind that story is we take our unbelief to Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
We take it to Jesus Christ.
Take it to him.
So what in the natural, what we want to do is control that situation.
Exactly, we want to control that situation.
So we want to step out the shield of Jesus and we want to reach out and we want to control that in ourselves. Whereas Jesus saying, just believe.
Just believe.
Stay in the shield. Stay under the shield. Follow me and just believe. Just in that situation, just sow into me more. Just come into me more. Just lean on me more. Just hold on
to
me more.
Lean in. You just got to lean into Christ. Like you're talking about the palm tree, and the tree just leans in. Just lean in. Just lean into Christ. Learn to lean in as the disciple did sitting around when they had the Passover, when they had the Holy Communion, when they were sitting around with Christ in that place. And they took, when they broke bread together, it says, and the disciple leaned into Jesus.
Yeah.
I've got to learn to lean in. Come off my own feet. Do not lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways.
Listen, I heard a story about a guy who was at a recovery, vehicle recovery truck out in Norfolk somewhere, and cars are always going off the road over there into the field, so he was quite busy. He was a believer, big believer, loved the Lord, and he got a call late one evening that a car had come off the road into a field. So him and a couple of guys jumped in the tow truck and they went up there. When they got there, they looked and the car had gone further into the field than they thought, and they hadn't got the right length of chain. So it was going to be too dark if they went all the way back to get the right chain, and they couldn't leave the car there because it would get vandalised and wrecked. So the guy, the owner, was a believer, and the other fellow said, what are we going to do? He said, oh, don't worry, there'll be a chain come along. And he prayed. And a couple of minutes later, a flatback lorry came round the corner, took the corner too sharp, the flatback at the back spilled down and this chain fell off the back. And the guy said, there's the chain, let's do the job.
Wow.
Faith like that. Faith like that and prayer like that.
That takes some doing, doesn't it?
It takes some doing.
It takes some doing because you are going the opposite to your natural perception. So the chain wasn't there.
Yeah.
They could see the chain, so their eyes are clearly going, we cannot do this without this other link. Now, Christ is the link in the chain.
That's it.
He is the link. He is the way. But to get myself in a... Now, we've got to be careful here, because then we enter, or we could enter, into the name it and claim it gospel.
Yeah, we could do, yeah. Yeah.
Now, that is completely different to what we're talking about. Now, raw faith is raw just faith. Trusting in Jesus.
Trusting in Jesus.
That he is... everything that I need.
He'll sort it out.
He'll sort it out. So I do believe that the church in the UK is being challenged like never before. And what the challenge is just believe.
And?
Just believe.
And take that step of faith.
Jump out the boat.
Take that step of faith.
Take the leap.
Do not sit there. Take that step. And it's a step of absolute communication with Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Absolute dedication and obedience and submission to Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That's where the faith will come from. I remember the story of the little girl who loved to play the piano, and this great pianist was coming to town, and the father booked tickets because he wanted to take his daughter to see this pianist. And so they get to the auditorium, and the little girl sees the piano, and she breaks free of her father, runs down the aisle, jumps onto the stage, and starts to play on the piano. And she plays Chopsticks, you know, just on this big piano. She's oblivious to whatever happens. And this great pianist comes out, and she's still playing Chopsticks, and all the crowd go mad. They're clapping the pianist, and the pianist sees a little girl, and she looks up and he says, keep on playing.
Wow.
Keep on playing.
Keep on playing.
And he sits down beside her and he plays the most amazing piano concerto on the back of what she's doing.
On the back of what she's doing.
And the crowd go berserk at the end.
That's Jesus.
And the key to that is... we take a step forward, don't we?
A leap of faith.
We take a step forward.
Yeah.
And then Jesus will come in. But if you sit on our backsides doing absolutely nothing, watching YouTube all day, then there ain't a lot going to happen.
There ain't going to happen.
You take a step, jump,
a leap
of
faith. Now that, it's blind as well, isn't it?
It's blind
faith. I don't know. So that might be saying, right, I don't know where the finances are going to come from. I don't know where the next job opportunity is coming from. I don't know how I'm going to get this healing situation. I've got issues with the kids. It is just going, God, you are going to do it.
And those...
you will do this.
Famous words in Luke, in the garden, and we've said it before.
Not
my will, but your will be done.
Now, there's a conversation that they're sitting around. There's a whole series of podcasts coming out.
We could go into that forever. But being... at peace with whatever the outcome is.
Can I just say something on that garden? Because you've mentioned that. There are many people now in the Garden of Gethsemane, and they've got three tagged on the end of their life that are asleep in their situation. It's just you and God.
It's just you and God.
Don't look at the ones that are snoring in your life. Just focus on the will of the Father. Just seek his voice. You will have the snorers around you. You'll have the one that hangers on, you know.
Yes, yeah, you'll have the people that...
you'll have the people that are on the
fringe, naysayers, mate.
The naysayers. But if you're in the garden, if you're in the Garden of Gethsemane, sweating tears and droplets of blood, keep talking to God.
And just be content and at peace with the result of what comes out.
Come on, Jesus. It's a great place to be.
It's a great place to be. It's a great place to end. Hope.
There's hope in the Garden of Gethsemane.
There's hope, yeah. Because
I'm in the Father's garden.
I'm in the Father's
garden. I'm in the olive grove.
I'm in the Father's arms.
And what happens in an olive grove? What do you do to get oil to flow? You press it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I might be in the garden.
I
might be under pressure.
But I'm content with the Father's will.
Because the oil of anointing is going to flow from him.
Yeah.
You know, there is power in God. So whoever you are around the globe, wherever you're listening, you know, I know we have a bit of banter and we laugh and joke and that, but do you know what? We love Jesus.
Yeah, totally.
We love Christ. We are all for Christ. There is always hope. If you're in the Garden of Gethsemane, if you're taking that leap of faith, jumping out of the boat, and you're starting to learn to walk on water, hope is before you.
Hope is before you. Stay in the will. Stay in the will.
The will of the Father.
Stay in the will. And just keep on sowing in to the Word of God. Keep on building that relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ.
Come on, Lord.
And what may look like a problem now, in 6 months' time,
yeah,
maybe something completely different.
I want to cry. Yeah, I can feel my eyes welling up because I can face tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because I know He lives. My Redeemer, my God, my King. Yeah. There is no garden experience too big for our God. There is no Goliath too big. There is no debt too high. There is no Jericho too big or wide.
No.
But it comes to obedience.
Obedience with Him.
Obedience, yeah. Because that's where hope is.
In His Son, Jesus Christ.
Oh, Simon.
Yeah.
We're there. We're there.
Listen, I don't know where you are. You listen to this around the world, and maybe you're in a position now that you think there's no hope, and maybe you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But if you want to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, as we said before, you don't have to be in a church, you don't have to be in a Bible school, you don't have to even own a Bible. You can, just like the thief on the cross, you can make that commitment right now by just saying a little prayer and believing it in your heart. So this is the prayer. Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord, forgive me for anything I've done wrong. Forgive me for unbelief that's going on in my life right now. I totally turn away from that and submit totally and accept your Son Jesus Christ into my life to be my Lord and Savior from this day forward. Lord, walk with me, be with me. I submit to you now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We believe that if you said that prayer, then you've been born again into the kingdom of God. You're a new creation. And the old man has gone away. And we've spoke about that before. And if you want to learn more about that, look into the podcast that we've done before. And if you want to get in touch with us, please get in touch with Ben at Elim Swanley or me at Real Men for Christ. Look on the YouTube and get in touch. And we'll walk with you and we'll talk with you more about any questions or anything arising from this. So Ben. Another great day in the home of truth.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Thank you, Simon. You know what? We are blessed to have you come over, all the way over, you know, from sunny Benidorm. Essex. We thank you so much for journeying with us.
It's worth the £5
getting through the tunnel. It's worth the £5. You know what? The car might be on the drive. We don't know. But, you know, it's been great to have you with us this morning. You've been listening to our great mate,
yeah,
Simon Pinchbeck, and myself, Crazy Reverend Benjamin Leonard Cooper. May God bless you and strengthen you, but never give up hope.
Never give up hope.
Amen. God bless.
Amen.